In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We've got a deep dive episode ahead for you this time. A lot of the focus has been on the offense for the first month of this season, rightfully so. We decided we'd take a closer look at the pitching staff and the pitching usage. Do we feel good about how Alex Cora is doing it? Do we trust Andrew Bailey, the pitching coach? All of that. So we're getting into a lot of pitching this episode, so stay tuned. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Nick Diamond and Chris Felico. Guys, how are we feeling?
Not great.
Yeah, I feel the same. Coming off a disappointing series, injuries to talk about, other things to talk about. We'll get into it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, disappointing Toronto series. Obviously, the team's not in bad shape. I mean, they're still over 500 just by a game, at least of this recording. But there's been some issues. And usually we complain about the offense, I feel like, all of April, because they went through stretches where it was just terrible. Like, they weren't hitting. They were just inconsistent. I feel like this series, particular against Toronto, the pitching really reared its ugly head. And I feel like that's something we should get into. And I want to start with the one good game in this series, and that was the Garrett Crochet game. Crochet went out there, did his thing. He's your ace, pitched really well. But he, I think, is tied at this point for the league lead in innings pitched. And this is a guy who has not pitched that much through his whole career, not even in college. This guy barely pitched in college, and he's been injured a lot. So Nick, I'll start with you. Like, this is a guy that he's your ace. You locked him up. You gave him a huge contract. But do you feel good about the usage so far? Because I sure don't.
I'll say I'm very happy with the results from Garrett Crochet. I'm happy with the contract of Garrett Crochet. He came here. You gave up a lot for him. But you can't really expect more from him than what he's done. He's been the ace. But like you said, Alex Cora stretched him out in games that he probably shouldn't have. I think I brought up in the last show, I think they were up 9-2 at the time going into the seventh inning. You could have brought in Bernardino. You could have brought in whoever you wanted, Newcomb, who I think they eventually brought into that game. But they could have brought in Newcomb right away. So it's a little bit stupid that he kind of leaves him, stretches him out. I know they locked him up so you could feel a little safer about stretching him out a little bit, but they stretched him out over 110 pitches a few starts ago. They pushed him to an unnecessary seventh inning. I know it only was 94 pitches, but still, I don't love the usage with him, but the results have been great. And if Garrett Crochet goes out there and throws 200 innings and wins a Cy Young, I'll be very happy, you know? So if Alex Cora can go out there and prove us all wrong, and him and Garrett Crochet can work together to make this thing work, wonderful. But right now it could be an injury risk. At least maybe not do it in May or April. If you're going to do it, wait until you really need it in August or September or October.
Chris, how do you feel about it?
I agree with Nick. I'm happy and ecstatic about the results. I think the concern for all the points that he said, like coming off of a game where he pitched over or about 110 pitches to stretch him out. Granted, it was to 94, but that extra inning, I think, speaks to the lack of trust that Alex Cora has for the middle relief of this team, which we'll dive into since that's what we're going to be talking about with pitching. But Garrett Crochet himself, I'm happy with the results. I think if he stays healthy, he's on track to get that Cy Young. The question is, will he stay healthy? Will we destroy this guy? I mean, I know there's been like tongue-in-cheek jokes where like, will history repeat itself? Us trading for a lefty from the White Sox, and now does this guy become Chris Sale, where he's constantly injured? down the line here. It remains to be seen, but happy with Crochet. Just obviously cautiously optimistic, but also kind of scared because I don't want to see this guy get injured, especially this early, because that could blow up our season. To Nick's point, let's like ride the horse and really whip him when we need him, when it's meaningful games. Let's not destroy his arm, because for all we know, we're going to like throw this guy's arm out. We're not even going to be in it in August. And then what?
Go ahead, Nick.
Yep. Just a quick point. We could have gone it. It's a 9-2 game. If you want to blow out your middle relievers, go ahead. It's much cheaper to acquire a middle reliever at the deadline than it is to acquire a guy to replace Garrett Crochet. So if you're going to protect a guy, protect Garrett Crochet. Don't protect Liam Hendricks. All due respect to Liam Hendricks, you're out the door next year. You're here. We're going to run you into the ground. Let's go. Like in 9-2 game, put him in there for 3 innings. I don't care. That's the guy you run into the ground, not Garrett Crochet, not Garrett Whitlock, not guys that are going to be here, going to pitch for you, and hopefully in October or other seasons down the line. But I just think if you're going to go run a guy into a ground, make it a guy that doesn't matter. And that might be rude to say to, I brought up Liam Hendricks as a example, but any of these relievers that are not your big three, and that's kind of disrespect. They're not a big three in Chapman, Slayton, and Whitlock, but those are your high leverage guys. Those are the guys you protect. Those are the guys you only use in your high leverage spots. The rest of your middle relievers are all, you know, you can replace them. They're all replaceable. You got guys in the minors that can do exactly the same thing. You know, they're all a revolving door. Luis Correa sucks one day, you send him down. He brings Zach Kelly up. When he sucks, you send him back down. You bring another guy up. It's just revolving door. Those are the guys you run into the ground. You don't run your big guy, your big arms into the ground in May.
No, 100%. If this was a game of chess, all those guys you said, like with all due respect, they're pawns. Like they're part of the game, right? They're pieces on the board, but they're not going to like they're at the end. They're not going to be there. If you're going to win this thing, they're not going to be on the board more than likely. But it really speaks to a blemish on the front office at this point, because if, to your point, if we can't trust this bullpen with a 9-2 lead, which to be fair is a concern, because I mean, we had a 6-0 lead and they blew that in the blink of an eye the next game, right? So like, it's a reality to not trust them, but the fact that we can't, like that's a blemish on the front office at this point, that we're in this position, that we have to worry about things in a 9-2 lead, a 6-0 lead.
And I know there's a lot of people probably listening to this asking, well, why are you concerned about Crochet? Well, my answer to that would be, who's your number two starter? Is it for sure Tanner Houck? Is it for sure Brian Bayo? I don't feel great about either of those options. Like, Giolito just came back. Yeah, he looks good. The people saying he looked great. He looked good. He looked good in his first start back.
He looked better than expected.
Sure. Yeah, he looked better than expected. Yeah, because all his rehab starts, he was walking the ballpark. So, like, the bar is kind of low. Like, who's your number two?
Well, I got a question for you guys. Without looking, just off the top of your head, how many starting pitchers have pitched for us this season that don't have a win?
Oh, probably a lot more than we would like to admit.
Just take a wild guess.
How many starters have pitched for us that don't have a win?
Tanner Houck doesn't have a win.
Yep.
Hunter Dobbins does not have a win.
Yep.
Crochet is one, I think.
He's two.
He's 2-2.
Two?
Yeah.
Walker Buehler has 4.
Walker Buehler leads the team with 4.
Bayo has 0. Well, no, he got one.
He's two. He's got two.
Okay.
Two, yeah.
So
is it only Dobbins and
Fitz doesn't have one, and technically now Giolito. So 4 starting pitchers do not have a win on this team. Granted, Giolito is only 1 start, but like, let's face it, he had a good start and had a 6-0 lead that should have been a win.
Yeah,
but
Giolito should have a win. Yeah,
right. Houck should have a win tonight.
Houck should have had a win tonight. Has no wins. Walker Buehler leads the team with 4 with a 4.2 ERA. Garrett Crochet's got a 2 ERA. Oh, he actually has, he's 3-2. But, I mean, it just goes to show, like, the inconsistencies and, like, the just the travesty, if you will, that, like, the pitching has been when you really dissect the season. Because to your point, Jason, we have been hard on the offense, and they've deserved it. They've even deserved it in moments of this series, even though despite scoring 10 runs and then 6 in the second game. Because in the second game, there were still moments they could have taken control, and even when it started to get out of control, they could have regained it, and they didn't. And then today, they only scored 2 runs. So, but like the pitching, I mean, that's a concern with, I mean, what's our sample size now? 32 games. We have 4 starting pitchers without a win and like a couple sitting at 2. Guy that's like literally going to be a Cy Young candidate on this team with this roster, this lineup. It's crazy.
It is. Yeah. And that's the maddening part of it is that you don't have a bad starting rotation. Not really. I mean, yeah, it's not perfect, but Crochet's an ace. I think we all know that now. He's a bona fide ace. Walker Buehler, and we'll get into him just after this, like, but he came over, like, he's been a bit inconsistent, but he's shown you that he still has that vintage Walker Buehler in him. Tanner Houck, awful spring training. Awful spring. He had a wretched spring. And his first couple of starts weren't great either, but his last few, he's looked really good. Especially this last start against Toronto. He feels like he's finally figuring it out. Brian Bayo, start of the year injured. You know, his last start back, he had to fight a little bit, but you can see the stuff. Giolito, even. Like, Giolito, his rehab assignments, he was walking the ballpark. He comes back, like, looks pretty good. Doesn't, you know, doesn't run into that trouble. Like, you worry about the home run with him because he gave up, what, 40-plus the last time he pitched a full season? But he looked okay. So, you don't have bad stuff in your rotation, but it's, like, not enough. And now, so, you know, Walker Buehler has to go back to Boston because he's got a right shoulder problem. And look, this is a guy who has missed a lot of time in his career with injuries. And so you lose him, you get Giolito and Bayo back. Cutter Crawford is still probably a couple weeks, maybe months away with the knee thing. Who knows what he's going to be like when he comes back. So do you guys trust, like, okay, so if it comes down to Buehler has to go on the IL because whatever. Even though they're saying, we don't think it's that serious, short IL stint, whatever. The Red Sox have lied to us before, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. I know fans don't want to hear that, but they have lied to us about injuries before. So let's say he's on the IL for 3 weeks, right? Do you trust Richard Fitz? Do you trust Hunter Dobbins? Do you have a preference over one of those two guys? Chris, I'll start with you. Like, is there one of those two guys that you prefer to come up first?
Personally, for me, I know the stats might support Dobbins. I think I'm more of a Richard Fitz, Dickie Fitz. I call him Dickie Fitz. I'm more of a Dickie Fitz guy. I think we've also not done right by him this season because he has no wins, but he realistically should have won 2 of those 3 starts. I know. And then Dobbins is the exact opposite. Probably won a game he didn't necessarily deserve, but did. Has 2 wins. He's got a sub-3 ERA. But I also have seen Fitz. Like, he had a couple of starts last year against the Yankees, which were by far the best team in the American League, and, like, kept them in check. Had some good starts this season against the only teams that we did play above 500, and we didn't win those games. But it wasn't because of him. So I would probably lean more towards Fitz, depending on how he is recovering from the injury when he comes back to the majors, and kind of, like, keep my finger on that pulse. That's just my thoughts at this point.
Nick, how about you? Between Dobbins and Fitz, do you have a favorite?
Well, I'll go with Fitz, but first off, he's still hurt, so we can't go Fitz at the moment. But if they were both healthy, I would pick Dick Fitz. But kind of a point I want to point out about Dobbins is they've been protecting him in the major leagues, at least. He's faced the Cardinals and the White Sox, and he's coming up to face – he hasn't been confirmed the starter, but he's going to face the Twins this weekend. And Saturday, probably. He's going to face the Twins. So that's three starts in the major leagues against three bad opponents. So I don't really know what he's got. I think he's got good stuff. I think he's going to be a fine player. But is he really what I trust going down the stretch if Walker Buehler is going to miss 4 to 6 starts or something like that? Probably not. I'm fine with him pitching Saturday, but I'd rather have Dick Fitz in that spot just because he's shown it. I've seen him pitch against the Yankees and shut him down. I've seen him pitch against a real team and have success in the major leagues. I know last year his swing and miss stuff was not very great, but early on in spring training this year and early on before he got hurt, his stuff ticked up. It really looked good. So I'd rather have him. But obviously, we don't know. We don't have a timetable on him yet, do we?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think we do.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, and again, it speaks to what we thought we would have depth, and now we're kind of, like, back in the space where, like, Dick Fitz and Dobbins should, at best, with what we thought coming into the season, been the guys that are fringe fifth starters, right?
I have an answer on who I would prefer. I would prefer Quinn Priester. He's been good since he's been since he's been in Milwaukee. He's been pretty decent, and I know they got some good value out of him, but we've lost a lot of depth already.
That I'm glad you brought up Quinn Priester. That trade still doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, okay, so Quinn Priester was up and down, and I know they're still trying to get his velocity to where they wanted it to be. He wasn't quite there yet. But you traded him away. You basically gave him away for an outfield prospect, right? Like, he's an outfielder, right? The guy they got from Milwaukee. And now Fitz is hurt, and you're relying on Hunter Dobbins, who I agree with Nick. Like, I like Hunter Dobbins, but I don't love him. I like Fitz's stuff better, but Fitz is hurt. He's not ready. And now you've got Buehler's down. You know, Giolito just came back. You know, we'll see how his second start goes. It could be a total disaster. Cutter Crawford's still miles away. So, yeah, like, you can come into the season saying you have depth, but when you trade away one of your depth pieces, particularly a guy who's 24 years old or 23, whatever Priester was, when they traded him, like, he was one of the youngest, and he had high upside. That trade still mystifies me, and it's kind of stunning that Red Sox fans just, you know, took their pants off for it. Like, oh, well, did you see the prospect we got? It's like, this 18-year-old outfielder was a stud. It's like, we need another outfielder? Like, really? That's what we need? Like, you know, you gave the Brewers a free pitcher, and his first outing with the Brewers, it went pretty well. 5 innings, you know, pretty clean slate.
I think he's had a few decent outings now.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and again, like, that makes sense because he pitched in, well, I don't know how much time he got with the Pirates, but he's used to the NL Central, I'm sure. So that's a guy who could be making starts for you right now. Instead, you're having to go to Hunter Dobbins or, God be it, Cooper Criswell, if it comes to that, something like that.
So Quinn Priester's stats in the season, 4 games, 4 starts, a 3.79. I mean, strikeouts are not high, 13, but, like, I'd put that in my fifth spot right now.
Right. Who wouldn't take that? An ERA under 4? Yeah. You'd absolutely take that. And, yeah, sure, your offense sucks right now, so that might not be enough, but whatever. That's a guy that you went out and you sought after. You got him. So why did they flip him for whoever this outfielder is they got from Milwaukee? He better be a stud, because that trade still makes no sense to me. So, look, you're at a point right now where you're not in a bad spot pitching-wise. You're still okay, but the Buehler injury, that kind of throws a new wrinkle in. Like, okay, he's having shoulder problems. The team has told us, at least as of this recording, it's a minor thing, and as Cora said, if it's an IL stint, it'll be a short one. Okay. Again, the team lies. So
there's nothing minor injury with Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler, an injury, is going to scare me no matter what. He's been dealing with injuries for the last 4 or 5 years at this point, it feels like. So this is what we're scared of when we signed him. We hope he could stay healthy, put together a full season, but so far it's not been great. And honestly, I've really enjoyed Walker Buehler. I think he's only had like one bad start, but his last few starts, I know he gave up a home run to Jackenzie Noel and kind of made his stats look worse, but he pitched well, and then he pitched well in the start before that. You know, I've enjoyed him, but we're going to probably be without him. I think he's going to go on the IL. You don't just scratch him a couple of days before his actual start and then be like, oh, it might not be that serious. He's going to miss a start or two at least.
Yeah, they were saying more than likely an IL stint, but that the trainer was not necessarily super concerned about it. But it's annoying, right? Because it's rearing its ugly head. And if everything else was firing on all cylinders, it's like, all right, cool. He's on the IL. I'm not worried. It's not like season, you know, threatening or whatever. But one game over 500 at this point. Like, we need these guys. And we don't have the luxury, whether it be a Priester, Fitz, we don't have a timetable back on. Yeah, Dobbins is going to pitch, and it's against the Twins. So, like, we hope it's favorable. But to your point, Nick, like, his sample size hasn't been against very good teams. They're all sub 500 for the most part. And, like, at some point, is he going to have a hiccup, even if it is the Twins? And then we can't afford that. So, yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, I feel like you're venturing dangerously close into needing a swingman territory. Like, oh, we need to sign Rich Hill out of emergency. Like, that kind of thing. Like, it's getting dangerously close to that territory, because how many times can you call Hunter Dobbins up and send him back down?
They technically still have Sean Newcomb they could put back in to start another one. I think that's why it's a good thing not to DFA him yet, at least until at least Dick Fitz is back. Once Cutter Crawford's back, everything is going to fall into place, and then Cutter Crawford could be your bullpen to starting role guy, and then Hunter Dobbins won't even be a thought if you have Cutter Crawford. But right now you don't have any of these guys available, so you never, ever have enough pitching depth. I know people said, you know, we had enough. No, we didn't. You could have 20, 25, 30 usable starters that you think could pitch in the major leagues. I'd be fine with that. You never have enough.
I'm just glad we got another outfielder.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
Maybe he could secretly play first base.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you get a pitcher who can secretly be like a hot hitting first baseman? Yeah. Is Madison Bumgarner still out there? He can hit, right? If it came down to it, who would you prefer keeps their active roster spot? Cutter Crawford once he comes back, or Sean Newcomb?
Cutter Crawford,
yeah.
It's not Crawford, even close. It's not even close.
And, like, I think I agree. I just worry about the knee, like, that, you know, he never had surgery. It, you know, he's been out for a long time. Like, I worry about guys who don't just have the surgery and they're like, oh, no, it's going to heal on its own. And then he starts, like, really ramping up and, I don't know, goes out there for two innings and doesn't feel right.
I look at it, if you really need Cutter Crawford, like, if you're relying on Cutter Crawford, like, we're already in a bad spot. So if he's not on the lower side of the rotation or in the swing, whether we're talking about him or Newcomb, like, we're already in trouble. So, and then the swing guys and, like, the fringe fifth starter, like, those are the guys you have to gamble. And if you're taking a gamble, you go with whoever's the hotter hand. And I just think that Cutter Crawford's the hotter hand.
Yeah, I would agree. And so to that point, this is what I've always wondered, especially with Baltimore. Like, their rotation is not very good, and it's clearly showing. The trade deadline is going to come up. There's going to be a lot of conversation. Would you guys rather rely on returning pieces like Cutter Crawford, Walker Buehler, whatever his situation is, Hunter Dobbins, the depth that you already have? Or would you rather make a splash? And I say splash, like, who knows what it would take, but go out there, be aggressive, get a guy like Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins, who's going to be available. We know he's going to be available. We know that the Marlins are going to try and sell. Would you rather rely on your depth that you currently have? Or do you want the Red Sox, this deadline, to be a little more aggressive and say, you know what, especially if they're in it and they're a contending team, to go for it? or rely on their depth?
Definitely want them to go for it, but you brought up Sandy. Just he's been horrendous so far, honestly. So I, at this point, I might want to stay away from him. But if they don't get a starting pitcher, after how much you went into this offseason and you invested into Alex Bregman, you paid Garrett Crochet, you paid Christian Campbell, you better go and invest and get a number two or three. It might not have to be like a bona fide two, but like a three guy. Another guy who's probably around Walker Buehler type who can actually stay healthy. And you need to put him into this rotation and you need to add to the bullpen. I think Chapman's going to wear down and go through a bad stretch eventually. I think Slayton's going through his bad stretch at the moment. You know, it comes and goes. I think he will be fine, but I don't want him in the as your big leverage guy. I think you need to add another guy to that mix so you could push everyone down a spot. But at this moment, it's too early to tell who's going to be available, who's out there, who's actually going to be hot in July and a realistic target. But right now, Sandy has like 8-6. So I don't know if he's the big splash you need, but there'll be a guy out there that makes a difference, and the Red Sox need to be in on them. You know, they're going to say Cutter Crawford's coming back. What is Patrick Sandoval? If I hear his name come out as a pitching rotation option, I'm going to be so upset. He is not an option. He is I'd rather put Hunter Dobbins out there at the moment. You see Patrick Sandoval in 2026. He's not a 2025 option at all. I don't want to hear that. We've heard it last year with Liam Hendricks. We knew he wasn't going to be a realistic option. He never was a realistic option. So we need to go out there and acquire somebody to fill in these holes because the Red Sox invested too much money. They got the fan base actually fired up again, and they can't go out there and flop. They can't be in third place this season. It can't happen.
Yeah, I think we're in a position where it has to happen just for the simple fact that, like, we are not that far from a reality where we're kind of average. Again, real quick, like, we're built for success this season. We don't know about Bregman long term. We don't know about Buehler long term, right? And, like, to be honest, even if he wanted to stay, like, with just his health in general, like, is that even realistic? There's still a lot of question marks, despite even with all, you know, whether you're talking about Marcelo coming up or Anthony, whatever, in some critical spots on the team to be a true contender if the American League ever wakes up. Because at some point, the American League is going to get good again, right? I don't know if it's going to be the Yankees, hopefully not, but someone will get good again. And at that point, we become very average. So if we have to capitalize for the simple fact that we're pretty close to average once the clock strikes a certain point, and like the talent's going to get better in our league. And if we don't accelerate, you know, our talent and take advantage of this time frame, it's going to pass by. And I think that's probably why I'm the most frustrated about the start to the season. It's like everything is right there for the taking. The best teams are so mediocre and average in this league that it's laughable. It's laughable. Like, good Sox teams, good Yankees teams would, like, they'd already have a 20-game lead 36 games in. But here we are, one game over 500. So, yes, we have to go for it. I don't know what the answers are, though. And I'm also kind of worried because what's the cost? Because some of the only things that we do have guaranteed coming is some of that depth and some of those prospects. And to really go for it, are we going to have to part with some of those prospects, which then in turn makes us somewhat susceptible to mediocrity when that clock turns? So depends on what it is and what we're giving up. But, yes, we have to make some sort of move.
Yeah, in general, I think I agree. I, like, you know, like Nick said, Alcantara, I didn't realize he was that bad so far. Like, and he's kind of a prized name, so that's, you know, like, kind of screws over Miami.
There's a name I like, Pablo Lopez.
Okay. From Minnesota? Pablo,
yeah, that's kind of a guy I would lean towards if they blow it up. I guess Sonny Gray is also an option, but kind of be scared of him, I think, in his older age, and he's had bad success. He had no success in New York, and, you know, I don't know.
I'd be in for Pablo. Yeah, like Pablo Lopez sounds good to me. Like, you know, sinker ball guy. Like, he kind of makes sense for the Red Sox right now. I agree with you on Sonny Gray. I think his best days are behind him. Yeah, it's tough because, like, I thought the depth would be really good, and then all of a sudden they're dropping like flies. And look, that's going to happen. It's baseball. It's a long season. Guy's going to get hurt. But you sign Walker Buehler, and we were thrilled when they signed him, but you have to remember this is a guy who hasn't been healthy for a long time. And really, you signed him based on his World Series performance, not his regular season. The first half of his regular season, he sucked. Second half, he was a little bit better. And then the World Series, he was dynamite. But you kind of made the same, well, I won't say mistake. I won't call it a mistake yet. But you did the same thing with him you did with Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi was great in the playoffs, and you gave him a four-year ridiculous contract that wasn't terrible, but was he probably overpaid? Yeah, a little bit. Is Walker Buehler overpaid? Yeah, probably a little bit. And you're going to deal with this kind of stuff, shoulder problems and, you know, soreness, whatever. Like, it's going to happen. The biggest thing is Garrett Crochet and the usage so far, to me at least. Like, you're on a pace where this guy is going to obviously exceed his innings pitch, but he's going to exceed it by a gross amount. And he's had a lot of injuries, and he's your ace, and you invested a lot of money in him. You invested a lot of prospects in him. Like, you better hope you can take care of him. You better hope that Cora and that pitching staff, they have a plan, that Andrew Bailey and Cora have a plan with him, and, oh, it's okay. Like, yep, the pitch count's up there, but we have a plan. Like, I'm curious to see what that is, because in August, in September, is Garrett Crochet going to be throwing 105 pitches? I sure hope not. So, and who knows what your pitching staff looks like by that point. Is Chapman still your closer? Probably not. I hope not. Like, so there's a lot of questions, and it just, I think their depth is good, but it's starting to feel like it's not as good as we initially thought. And especially with Fitz being hurt, with Giolito just coming back, with Buehler now going down. You guys brought up some of the relievers, like, Patrick Sandoval. I know they want him to be a starter, but he feels like a James Paxton 2.0 to me. You're not going to see him this year. That's, like, they keep doing this. You're not going to see him. Another guy that they thought they would see in year two, who at least so far hasn't panned out, Michael Fulmer. Remember that one? Michael Fulmer. Oh, yeah, no, we signed him to a two-year deal. Like,
Michael Fulmer is not even in the organization anymore.
He's gone. Yeah. Like, they waited a year for him to rehab, came back, pitched, and he sucked. And now he's gone. So it's just, like, everyone, like, loves to laud the organization. Oh, Patrick Sandoval, man, what a sneaky move. Oh, it's going to pay off in the long term. You don't know that. I can't tell you. Jared Carrabas creamed his pants over the James Paxton signing. How did that work out? James Paxton sucked. He really did. He sucked. Patrick Sandoval is probably going to suck, and he'll barely pitch. Like, yes, they have depth, but it's just bodies. It doesn't mean they're actually going to contribute for a team that, I'm sorry, this year has to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs. In this American League, the way it is right now, if you miss the playoffs this year, you're a joke. This team's a joke. So the pitching depth, you better hope it's actual depth. If it's just a bunch of bums who can't stay healthy, then you don't have pitching depth, and you screwed it up again. So, it's early. We're one month in, but Buehler going down, and, you know, some of these relievers not looking the way they should, it's fair to be a concern.
Can I ask you guys a hypothetical?
Go for it.
It's ridiculously far-fetched, but I'd just be interested to hear your answer. I would think we would agree that if there's any pitcher that we could have in baseball at their age, talent-wise, it'd be Skeens at this point, without it being an object, money, whatever. What is it that you would be willing to trade to get him? Like, where does it stop? Like, what's your limit?
What do I
and you're getting him on it. You're getting the extension. I'm putting it on the table.
Okay, so Skeens extension in hand?
Yeah, extension's already been agreed upon. It's just now a matter of what you're willing to give up.
So I have to be realistic about it.
How much are you paying him? Am I giving him $700 million?
No. Let's say it's going to obviously be more than Crochet. Let's say, I don't know. Let's say it's a 13-15-year deal with maybe between 5 and 7.5 million more than Skeens.
I'll be honest. It's going to be less than Crochet. It's going to be less than you think. Like, I don't want him on my team, but
I'm saying at the worst, but what is the most that you would give?
I'm still not giving up Anthony.
So Anthony's your limit, but like Mayer, you're 100% getting rid of.
Sure.
Not even a question. Okay.
Yeah. I'll go. Would
either of you do both?
No.
I don't give up Roman Anthony either.
No, I'm not giving up Anthony. No.
I give up Mayer and whatever what else he wanted.
Because
what else do you want?
But Anthony, is it anything else? Just not Anthony.
It's the problem is Anthony is more of a long-term short bet than a pitcher.
Roman Anthony's realistically could play 150 games for you for the next 7-8 years.
Yeah. Paul Skeens could blow on his arm next year and he's toast.
I also
not toast, but or he turns into Tyler Glasnow.
It would be
Tyler Glasnow, Shane McClanahan, like.
Yeah. Is Christian Campbell untouchable to you at this point?
No. Not to me.
With that contract he is.
I'd give up the contract. For Skeens, that's hard. Because your second base position is such a void without Campbell.
He could be your third best player on the team at the moment.
Yeah. It depends. Like, okay, so if they ask for Mayer and Campbell, no, that's too much.
I don't think there's a way this gets done. I don't think the Pirates give up Skeens.
Why this was a completely ridiculous hypothetical. I mean, listen, let's face it. With our luck, at some point, he's more than likely going to be a Yankee. So,
yeah.
So I could guarantee
you. I honestly think Breslow can call up Ben Charrington right now and be like, Roman Anthony.
It's a great point.
Whatever you want. And he'd be like, screw you.
Yeah.
It's Paul Skeens. We cannot give up Paul Skeens.
Well, listen, at some point, depending on if they actually think they could extend him, and again, I'm not saying he'd come to the Sox. That remains to be seen. I'll take it a little bit further than you two. I would not do Mayer and Anthony, but Anthony's not untouchable to me. I recognize everything that you said, Nick. But like the flip side of that is like he could get hurt playing the outfield and like that changes his career, right? I know the likelihood of throwing out your arm, but I also have watched Skeens now and know he's a bona fide like ace and beyond that. It would be tough for me to get rid of Anthony. I admit that. I certainly wouldn't get rid of both. If we still had Kyle Teal, I definitely would be like, yeah, Anthony could definitely be a part of it. Because honestly, I would have rather kept Teal than Mayer. But
Have you seen Kyle Teal's numbers in AAA Charlotte? He sucks.
I know,
and he can't throw out runners.
He's not hurt all the time, though.
I mean, he can't throw out base runners as a catcher. Like he's Blake Sable behind the plate, basically.
Well, thank God we have him.
Well, I know. Yeah. No, I see your point. My whole thing is, and look. I've criticized the Red Sox for not extending pitchers because they're afraid. I'm glad they did with Crochet. They finally put their nuts on the table and bit the bullet. With Skeens, like, if you trade Roman Anthony, and it would take more than that. It'd be like Anthony, Mayer, and a bunch of others. Pick your favorite prospects, like Miguel Blaze.
I think it would involve more.
Yeah.
I think like Jaron Duran's on the table. They want like Sedan Rafael. They want Willier. Like, give me your entire starting lineup. Like,
yeah.
I think that's how insane it would be.
that's a blockbuster, beyond a blockbuster. That's a league shifting trade. And you've got to hope, if you do that, that Paul Skeens remains healthy for like 12 plus years. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen to pitchers. Even if you're like,
Paul Skeens would have to be Roger Clemens.
He'd have to be, yeah, Clemens or Verlander. Yeah. And even Verlander had to have core surgery to buy himself a couple more years. Like, no.
We got an amazing 18-year-old outfielding prospect from the, you know, Priester trade. So throw him in.
Yeah, well, he better be amazing. Yeah, geez. But that's the thing. Like, that's why I'm glad you brought that up. Because, again, like, why did you just give away Priester? You went out of your way to get him. And, like, I get it. You gave up Manuel Valdez. Like, fine. He's not really part of your future. He's doing okay over there in Pittsburgh. But he's a pitcher. He's a under 25 pitcher.
It was Nick York, actually.
Oh, Nick York. That's Priester, right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. Yep. Who's still, I think, I don't know what he's doing, but I liked him as a prospect. But is he doing anything?
I don't think so.
No. I don't know. It just, that's where it's like, with your pitching depth, yes, it's there, but you took away from it, and now it's starting to get really thin. And I don't know. I just don't know if I trust it long-term unless they make a deal. Unless they do something at the deadline. And we'll see. I mean, for all we know, Buehler's shoulder thing is minor. He's gone for 10 days. He comes back, right? Giolito figures it out. He's good. Bayo figures it out. He's good. But, man, it feels like a lot of ifs. Feels like a lot of ifs. And pretty soon you're getting down to that depth of, like, Fitz, who's also hurt. You know, then it's Dobbins, who's unproven. And if it's not him, it's Cooper Criswell again. Like, that's 2024 all over again. If you get down to Criswell, that's 2024 all over again. And once again, I'll bring this up because everyone else who hates us on Twitter loves to say we're wrong. The Red Sox do not have minor league pitching depth. They don't. They don't have starters who are knocking on the door to pitch in the major leagues. I'm sorry, Justin MLB. I'm sorry, everyone else who says, oh, if you don't think the Red Sox are pitching depth, you're dumb. No, we're not dumb. We're just smarter than you. They don't. They just don't have it. So this is what it's going to come down to. So hopefully the injuries aren't too serious, but it's a concern. And that's why we bring it up, and it's something to think about. So we'll see what happens with Buehler. Hopefully it's just he skips a start and there's no IL stint, but we'll see. We'll see how close Fitz is to coming back and all that. We'll see how, you know, Giolito does in his second start, because I still think that's a question mark. And we'll see how Tanner Houck does. Like, Tanner Houck and Brian Bayo, like, they're not for sures. We got to see how they do. So I think the pitching is something to definitely look at going forward, because the offense was a concern in April. They seem to be figuring it out, but the pitching is always going to be a concern for this team. If you want to be a true playoff contender, it can't just be Garrett Crochet winning you games. It's got to be someone else. So we'll see what happens there. And you know what? Whatever happens, we'll be here every step of the way. So everyone, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we'll be here the whole season. So keep tuning in. Keep listening. We love you. Take care.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.